Mr. Troutman. Good morning. How are you today? Good. Good deal. Good to hear it. Pastor Mike is off this weekend, celebrating his anniversary. So I fell into the rotation today. We're beginning our series on spiritual disciplines. And it's going to be an interesting next 4 weeks, 5 weeks, as we go through these together. The spiritual disciplines. I was thinking about that word, discipline. And a lot of times when we think of discipline, we think of getting a good whooping when we were a kid, you know. Or maybe even later, if we deserved it. You know, when we think of discipline, we think of, you know, somebody coming down hard and cracking the whip and type of thing. But it's not necessarily that. It's discipline is, learning, it's about, forming ourselves through pressure. You know, maybe it's through exercise or through diet. Some of you have a routine. A lot of you have a routine. You get up in the morning, the alarm goes off, you get up and you, have to, the first thing I do is I grab my glasses, because without my glasses, I am blind. I couldn't make it to the bedroom door probably without my glasses on. You take a shower or you have that first pot of coffee. Or whatnot. I didn't say cup of coffee. Some of the coffee, dry-hard coffee drinkers, it's that first pot of coffee that gets you going. You have a routine. You have, and you develop that routine. You develop those habits. And that's really a form of a discipline. And some disciplines we really have to work at. We have to make ourselves do the things that we do. We're into now the sectional time, and now yesterday regionals and the collegiate basketball. I love watching college basketball and those athletes, and they are taught disciplines in their practice. They're taught the fundamentals as young kids. Eli is going to play T-ball this year, and it's excited to watch that. It's fun to watch that little kid hit that ball off that tee. And no matter what direction it goes, it may go down the third baseline, but you can guarantee that right fielder in T-ball is going to go after that ball. You know, everybody runs after the ball. But they learn the fundamentals. They are taught disciplines. And so as we go through these spiritual disciplines that we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks, Pastor Mike's going to be bringing you most of them, it's to help us. To help us grow as believers, to help us to grow as followers of Christ. In mid-1980s, 1985, the one that we're talking about today, the spiritual discipline, is prayer. I was talking to Pat in the hallway over in the fellowship hall as we were coming over this way, and she had told me, I forget, she said five, maybe six books, maybe more, I'm not sure how many. She said she'd been reading books on prayer. And I said, well, you need to be preaching this morning, not me. Because I'm going to stand before you. And I've said this many times as I bring a message to the church here or wherever I'm at, whether it's in prison or somewhere preaching. I always tell you that the message first and foremost is to me. And then I share it to you. And it's hard to pray. Let's just be honest. I've read stories and I've heard these stories of these renowned men, you know, in the past, and I forget the man's name. It was one of somebody like Charles Wesley or someone like that. It was some renowned father of the faith, you know, and they talked about, you know, spending 3 hours in the morning on their knees in prayer before they ever started their day. And I think, man, I'm not there. I'm not there, okay? I'm not. So I'm just being honest with you this morning. It is hard to find yourself in prayer. There's always somebody knocking on the door, or there's somebody that needs something, or you get the time and the phone rings. And there is so much that goes into this discipline of prayer that the 2 hours that I have planned for us this morning is not going to cover near all of it. Okay? We could do 6 weeks on prayer. But Pat was telling me she was reading these books. And I heard a guy say one time that if you read 40 books on one particular subject, you have absorbed as much information that it would require to receive a doctorate degree on that subject. So we're not going to go through all 40 books this morning. I'm not going to read to you 40 books this morning. And it's as we go through these disciplines for the next, and Pastor Mike would tell you the same thing. As we go through these, take the few words that we share this morning and spend your week and do some study and read your Bible, talk about and get in communication with people, be talking with one another, be talking in with your spouse or with your friends about this subject of prayer, and let's expound on this and let's build on this foundation that we have laid out this morning. In 1985, a rock band by the name of Bon Jovi came out with a song, and you go to just about any sporting event, or you go to especially like at sectional the other night we were over there, you know, and they'll blare out this tune, and it's about a boy named Tommy and a girl named Gina, and they're struggling through life, and they're barely making it, holding on, and his job is in peril, and she's working to support, trying to do the things that she's doing to support their for them to survive. And the song says, "Whoa, oh, we're halfway there. Whoa, oh, living on a prayer." And he made a fortune, and it's the most requested song ever that is requested at events, at you know, whatever. I think it'd make a great wedding song, you know. Hey, let's get this down pat first thing. Living on a prayer, you know. But that is the premise of the song is that that's all we have to hang on to is each other and a prayer. And so this morning we're going to talk about prayer. There is nothing in the world that will get a man's attention faster than to hear his wife or his girlfriend, in some cases, say these words, "We need to talk." That will bring your world to a screeching halt. Because when you stop dead in your tracks, your brain immediately engages. What did I do now? Or in some cases, what did I not do now? And when Jill says, "Hey, we need to talk." Oh man, what did I forget? What have I not done? Or what did I do this time? Communication is key to any relationship. It's your working relationships, marital relationships, just throughout the day, basic business, just going through and doing the things that we do. Communication is very, very important. And it's something that we have to do. We have to talk. We have to communicate. And failure to do so can cause a lot of issues. The movie, anybody remember the movie, Cool Hand Luke? And the captain is out there and he's barking orders and road prison 36. You've seen the movie. And Luke makes the comment, or the captain makes the comment to Luke. He says, "These chains that you're in," they're on the chain gang, says, "These chains are for your own good." And Luke just kind of dryly responds something to the effect of, "Well, I wish you would stop being so good to me." And the captain slaps him, knocks him, if you remember the scene. He hits him with the butt of his billy club he's got there, and Luke rolls over, and the captain stands up and says, "What we have here is a failure to communicate." Our spiritual life, our life that we live from day to day, speaking from my heart to your heart, and probably for a lot of us here, is what we have is a failure to communicate. What is prayer? Well, let's look at it this morning, if we can, for just a little while. Eli is going to put up our scripture for today, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. As we read this today, let's stand, read it together. I want us to really look at this for just a little bit. It says this: "Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again," or the King James says, "again I say, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near." Verse 6, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Let's go back to verse 6. I want us to say this morning. I want us to read this verse 6 up here. I want us to read this out loud together. This is important as we begin this series on spiritual disciplines, especially prayer. It's important that we get this. So let's read verse 6 together. "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." Dear Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that as we come to you for just a little while, that you will help us to look at this the way that you want us to, that you'll encourage our hearts, that you'll help us as we strive to be followers that you have called us to be. Thank you for these people who are here this morning. I pray you'll speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to have Eli leave that up for the duration today, because we're going to come back and look at some of that together. God desires a relationship with us. God desires a relationship with us based on faith, based on trust, and based on communication, or based on prayer. When you remember when in Genesis, and God created man, and God came and he fellowshiped with man, and the Bible says that in the cool of the day, that God would come down and that he would communicate, that he would talk to Adam and to Eve. And we know that, you know, that sin entered and temptation and they fell, and that separation happened. But God still today, God desires to have a relationship with us, and part of that relationship requires communication. God speaks to us through his word and through his spirit, and our response to God is through prayer. That's how we respond. I've used this before, and I don't mean want to pick on Jill this morning, but she's an easy subject for me to talk about, because I probably know her just about as well as I know anybody else in this room, or at least I should. But communication, it's a two-way street. It goes both ways. And one time we were driving down the road, and she was kind of pouring herself out to me, and she said, "Are you listening to me?" And I did what every good husband does. I lied and I said, "Yes, I have been listening to you." And then she said something that threw me off. She didn't say, well, you know, the easy thing for her to say would have been, "Well, what did I say?" She didn't do that. She didn't make me repeat back to her what I had said. She said something else that really caught me off guard. Harold, she said, yeah, you're listening, but are you hearing me? That was the difference. I heard background noise. I heard what sounded like Charlie Brown's school teacher talking in the background. And I wasn't a bit interested in what she had to say because I was probably thinking about where we were headed, where we were going to eat when we got there. You know, the important stuff. But the important stuff to her was what she had on her mind. She was trying to communicate with me, and I wasn't hearing. It was kind of coming in and going out. It wasn't stopping. Well, there's probably not much there to stop it, but it wasn't stopping inside. It wasn't resonating with me. Communication is important. It goes both ways. We have to hear what God is speaking into our lives, and He wants us to respond to Him through our prayer. A lot of times it's said, well, it doesn't matter how you pray, it's that you pray. And that's an easy thing to say. People will say that a lot of times. It doesn't matter how you pray, but it's important that you are praying. Well, what if we used that rationale in every aspect of our life? Jill made a birthday cake for Norby the other night. It was his one-year-old birthday. What if she would have said, it doesn't matter how I make the cake, but that I just make the cake. And went all willy-nilly with putting it together. It wouldn't have come out. It was good. It was real good. It was chocolate, with chocolate icing and these little candy sprinkles on top. It was incredible, especially with ice cream on it. But what if she would have just, it doesn't matter how, it's just that I do it. Well, what if we would have got up this morning and said, it doesn't really matter how I drive to church, it's important that I just drive. Could have ended up over, come up 450. There's a lot of places you could have ended up if you weren't focused on how you were doing it. Mainly over the embankment somewhere. Well, what if these sports teams that are playing this weekend and last weekend and all this said, it doesn't matter how we play, Bob, just get out there and play. We just want to get out there and play. It doesn't matter how. We don't have to listen to the coach. It is important how we do it. And the disciplines were given us. The disciples had been following Jesus in His ministry, and they had seen Him do some pretty amazing things. And one day He's praying, and His disciples are like, that's interesting. I wonder. And they tell you, or they ask you, they said, will you teach us how to pray? And so He gives us this model prayer in Matthew, and all of us in this room, no doubt, could recite the Lord's Prayer this morning, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And Jesus is giving them a model. He said, when you pray, pray like this. And I know a lot of times we use that prayer, and you know, we hear it at funerals a lot, we hear it in church services a lot. We hear, you know, a lot of people, even non-believers, you know, non-followers have heard it and know it. You see it on plaques. You see it a lot of places. I don't necessarily believe that Jesus was saying that you have to pray this prayer every time, but He gave us a model for us to go by. There are four things that I notice in the Lord's Prayer that I want us to look at this morning that coincide with, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Four things that I would see as we look at the Lord's Prayer this morning. Let's read it, or I'll read it to you this morning. Out of the King James, it says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We'll talk about our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's in the in another place that it's written. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What is Jesus teaching us about prayer in His prayer? Number one is the acknowledgement of God. The one to whom we are praying, not through whom we are praying. We'll get to that in a minute. But to whom we are praying. Understanding that God, the creator of this universe, the one who spoke life into existence, who made us in His image to have a relationship with Him, cares enough to stop and to listen to us when we pray. He desires that communication. Just like your spouse desires to communicate with you, I hope. And just as you, I hope, just desire to reciprocate that communication, God wanting a relationship with us, God desiring that relationship with us, and us acknowledging through our prayer, God, You are who You are. The Creator, the Father of us, of the one who loves us, who sent His Son for us. Acknowledging God as Father. The second thing that we see in the Lord's Prayer is our attitude of thankfulness and gratitude. Trying to first and foremost thank God in our prayer for what He has given us and having gratitude for that. There's an example that is very near to us, to our hearts. It's something that we have tried to practice as a family. We were living in Florida when we were there for the prison ministry that we were involved with. And we were in a tiny little house, and we were it was close, and our family was growing, as it seems like it has ever since we've been married. It just keeps growing, and now they leave, and then they come back, and they bring more with them. And it's just weird how that works, but it's the way it is. And we were really cramped, and it was tight, and it was in an area that we just was like, wow, you know, are they shooting at the coyote or are they shooting at us type neighborhood, you know? You just didn't really know for sure what was going on. And we needed things to change. We needed a change there. And my wife, in her wisdom and her, just awesome like that, she said, you know what? She said, I have a feeling that if we would be more thankful for what we have, we would see God move in our need. And so we began to not just bombard Him with, we got to have another place to live, we got to have it now, but more with the attitude of thankfulness for what we had. And it wasn't very long. It was a very short while. A man that was on our board of directors there called me and he said, hey, he said, I'm thinking about buying a house in town. Would you guys be interested in going and looking at it? It would be a good place, be a good ministry house. It'd be a good place for you guys to go. And I said, yeah. I said, when I get time, I'll run in there and take a look at it. And as soon as he hung up the phone, I got in the car and I went and looked. I didn't wait around. I went in and checked it out. And Jill was actually in Panama City that evening. And she was over there with the girls. And I called her on the phone and said, hey, I said, there's an opportunity. And I don't know how that would have worked out, but I have a feeling that if we had not have shown the gratitude, heartfelt gratitude, and contentment with what we had, we would have never been able to have changed the outcome of that. But God, through His faithfulness and through our prayer, opened that door and allowed that to happen.
thankfulness. The third thing that we see in the example that Christ gives us through His prayer. First of all, the acknowledgement of who God is, showing our thankfulness and gratitude before we bring the third point, which is our request, our supplications to God. I always make it a personal effort to be thankful, to show gratitude, to thank God for something that He has done for me before I ask Him to do something else. I'm not saying that that's the way that you have to do it, but that's the model that we were shown. Jesus said, pray like this, and He showed the thankfulness before He made His request. The fourth thing that I see in the model is the acknowledgement of our frailty and our failures as humans and our constant need of forgiveness and the need to forgive. When Jesus prayed this prayer, He gave us that example. He showed us, as a human, I am in constant need of His forgiveness. I am in constant need of showing forgiveness. I need to be forgiven of my faults, my failures, my sins, and I need to show forgiveness to others. And when we follow those guidelines, when we follow those principles, our prayers will be more effective. It's easy for us to just stop on a whim. And, you know, social media is great. I love social media. It's a good chance to find out what everybody's doing. Really give your opinion on the keyboard warriors. I watch this guy. He's a cook. He's down in, he's a Cajun fella down in New Orleans. And Stellcracker is his name. Shout out to Stellcracker if you're watching this video. Hopefully that'll make YouTube. And he's got some expressions. He's got some things that he likes to say. He's got some coin phrases that he uses, and I won't use them here. It's nothing bad or obscene, but it's just it's what he does. But one of the things that when he's cooking something, when he's making his dish and what he's cooking on his show, he'll make a comment a lot of times, all you keyboard warriors, or all you people in the comments, you know, is always telling, he said, you do it the way you want to do it. I'll do it my way. Basically, he's just saying, if you don't like the way I do it, you don't have to watch. You know, that's what he's saying. And it's kind of funny. I love social media because it's easy to get involved. But so many times we'll see someone, you know, they'll give a prayer request. And when Kevin, you know, was going through what he was going through the other night, And just in a matter of a short minute, praying for you, hugs and prayers, thoughts and prayers, praying for you, prayers. I mean, the comments just rolling in. And it's easy to, you know, praying for you, click. Do we stop and actually pray for that individual? A friend of mine was talking one time about been in a store. He was in the grocery store. And he was talking to this individual and he said, how you doing? I said, well, says, if you think about it, pray for me. Well, he just stopped where he was at, right there in the middle of the grocery store, and he prayed for this person. I bet the next time they'll think twice about asking, you know, for him to pray for him in the store. You know, but when someone says, I'll pray for you, or I'm praying for you, you know, are we? Do we? Just some questions to ask this morning. It's not necessarily in the notes. It's just something to think about. Your homework assignment for this week. All right? You're like, ugh, homework. I hate homework. I do too. Here's your homework assignment. I'm not asking you to turn it in. I'm not asking you to, there's not going to be a test next week. Here's your homework assignment. I want you to genuinely get out your Bibles, specifically in the New Testament, and I want us as a church to look at the specific ways that we are to pray, how we are to pray, who we are to pray for, and what we are to pray for. And you will be surprised. Pat said to the other this morning, she said, I would love for us to do a Bible study on prayer. So let's kind of do our own. We'll do that this week, in the next few weeks, as we go through these, as Pastor Mike brings you the other disciplines. Let's go through them together and let's look at what the Bible says about them. We could spend hours upon hours upon hours this morning talking about prayer, and we can't. We don't have time to do that in this setting. But I want to encourage you as you go through your Bible in the next few days, next few weeks, look up about praying for healing. Research about intercessory prayer, what intercessory prayer means. It may be a term that's unfamiliar to some of us. Praying for others. Look up prayers for healing, for forgiveness. Bible incites us to pray for peace. The Bible commands us to pray for our enemies. That's a tough one. You remember the country song that came out a few years ago, and the lyric of the song says, I'll pray for you. Remember that? And you're like, oh, well, that's a nice song. That's a good song. And then as you start listening to the verses, it says, I pray a flower pot falls from a windowsill and knocks you out. I pray your brakes go out as you're going down the hill. I pray your engine stalls at 30,000 feet. I'm like, my lands, what kind of prayer is this? That's not prayer. That's the going the wrong way. Let's not do that. Let's not do that. That was going the wrong way with prayer. But let's make a conscious effort as a church to pray for others, pray for each other, and to dive into the Word of God and see what the Bible says about prayer and the other disciplines that we're going to share. There's not an invitation as such this morning. I just want us to contemplate that today and think about prayer as we go forward. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the smiling faces of these great people. I pray that you will encourage our hearts to pray for one another. Lord, to find your heart. To show our not just gratitude, but Lord, our deepest, most heartfelt, intimate thoughts towards you as to who you are and the love that you have for us. Lord, help us return that as we speak to you, as we pour out our thoughts and our concerns to you. We're thankful that you listen. We're thankful that you care. We're so thankful that you love us. You love us so much. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us as we go this morning, that you bring us back again this evening for our missions gathering. And Lord, I pray for these folks that are here today. There's heartache, there's care, there's concerns, there's health issues, that are all throughout this building, throughout our listeners that are not with us this morning, those who are online. Lord, there's so much things that are going on. We think of Kevin this morning in the hospital, Lord, and Ann, as she's taking care of him, and no doubt concerned as Ann would be about what's going on at home and what she needs to be doing. Well, we pray for peace, for comfort for them today especially. Lord, our minds are just drawn to him this morning. We pray as a group today, Lord, we collectively agree for Kevin's healing and for their provision as he's off work again. Lord, we pray for them this morning. We come to you on their behalf today. We give you praise in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget this evening, there is a missions gathering. Choir practice is at 5:30. We didn't have a missions moment per se this morning, but I do want to give a brief missions moment today, if we can. How many of you ladies or men like to crochet? Just one? Wow, this is going to be an uphill battle. How many of you like to sew? How many of you like to quilt? Mercy. How many of you like to buy things? Okay, there's the hands. All right, here's what I want us to consider as a missions project. Some of you won't be here this evening, so I'm going to talk about it this morning. I want us to make receiving baskets to have on hand for new babies born into our community. My wife has graciously started crocheting blanket. So what I would like to have in this basket is a blanket, either something that's handmade, something that's purchased, something that will be for that child. It can be, you know, pink and blue bunny rabbits, whatever you want to do. We can make boy baskets, we can make girl baskets, whatever. Boxes, they don't have to be baskets, they'll be boxes. Newborn diapers, wipes, things that a mama's going to need. And if you don't want to do that, but would like to give towards that type of project, would like for us to include at least one gift certificate to a local establishment here in this area, either Shoals or Ligoti, that mom and dad can go and have a meal. No strings attached. This is not a, we're going to give this to you and you have to come to our church. Okay? There's nothing like that. They do not have to attend this church for them to receive this. But if we know of a family that is, that has a new baby born into their family in our community with, you know, within reasonable distance, I want us to be able to provide them with something that says, we're thinking about you, we're praying for you. If you need resources, you can contact us. If you need anything you need, you know, you're welcome to reach out to us, and we'll do what we can to accommodate that. But just something to welcome that new life into the home and into our community. And so I'd like to prepare a few of these, and I know that there are some who, I was hoping that all these ladies were going to be like, yeah, we love to sew, and we were going to make these blankets, but we're not going to get that because nobody likes to sew, so we're going to have to buy them. So that means you're going to have to give, all right? If you decide to do so, you can see myself, you can talk to Jill about it, or you can just make a little note if you want to give an offering, make a little note, say for missions. We think a lot of times as missions is overseas. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight, maybe have an update if everything works out. But missions is from our doorstep, around the world, and back to our doorstep. It encompasses a lot of things. So that's something to be thinking about, praying about. I would like for us to be able to do that for families that have newborn babies in our community, to know that they're being prayed for, cared for, they're loved, and we can engage our mission statement as a church through that. So if you have any questions about that, feel free to give me a a holler. I'd be happy to talk to you more about it. If you want to give towards it, great. If you want to get together some evening and sew some blankets together, piece some blankets together, we can do that.